Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I'm going to today just share a story with you. I went out to eat last night with my wife, and we're sitting in a position in a bar restaurant and having our steak, and across from us you could hear two guys talking at the bar, and it was interesting. You know, they just went on and on and on and on. One of the guys was a real talker, and guy looked to be I'm just guessing, maybe early 50s, mid to late 40s, something like that. And then there was an older guy that was with him, looked like he was in his 60s. And what's interesting is that the younger guy, was sitting there and just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. The older guy didn't have much input into it. And one of the things the younger guy was talking about, and I say younger being, like I said, late 40s, early 50s, is that he and his wife didn't see eye to eye on how to save for or what to do with their money for retirement. And as I listened to the conversation, you know, I couldn't help myself. I told my wife, I said, I really feel bad about this, but I just cannot not eavesdrop, because it's just so interesting to me to see how far aside from the possibilities in life people live. And this guy had a good job. I'm just taking this from the story. And his wife had a good job. And because each of them had a good job, the wife didn't think he had the right to tell her where to put her retirement funds, and vice versa. But she had a 401k, he had a 401k, they had, you know, their money kind of segmented, and he was like, look, there's your money, there's my money, there's our money, what are we going to do with it, blah, blah, blah. In the conversation, though, you could not hear anything about actually planning for retirement. It was about saving for retirement. It wasn't really about planning. There was really no indication that something was going to happen. And we're looking at this from the point of this guy's got kids in his 20s. He was talking about his daughter traveling all over the country, and he didn't like that she was doing that by herself, just a single girl. So that makes him, he's got to be, you know, probably 50 years of age, mid-40s at least. So I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, they don't get it. There's no financial plan other than I'm going to work for the rest of my life and stick money in an account somewhere, and hopefully that money will save up someday. So when I'm old and gray, I'll have enough money to be able to retire and live off that pile of money. That is the typical American dream. And I was speaking to my wife. I mean, she's quite a bit younger than I am, but I've been retired since I was 34 years old. She's been retired for since she married me or went out with me. So the question is, why do people not see that? Why did, you know, what is it that I see at 34 years of age, and really before that, because it took a couple of years to retire, what did I see in my late 20s and early 30s that drove me to realize I don't want to do this for the rest of my life? And I was speaking, you know, tangentially, meaning, you know, it's a similar, interesting conversation, but on a completely different topic with someone about the people at Lifestyles. Are they just all gone? Do they just stop coming? Does everybody grow up and there's nobody left to retire? And I said, that's ridiculous. Every single day, every single year, people are getting to a age, the age, whatever age, that they wake up one day and they realize their life is just quiet life of quiet desperation. And it happens to everybody. You wake up one day and go, what do I have? Do I have massive health? Do I get to work out the way I know I should? Here I am. I'm in the best physical condition of my life. I was just talking to my uncle. My uncle's 87. And no other male in our family besides him lived past 65. I'm the only other one. I'm the second one that did it. And I'm almost 70. And the bottom line, I'm in the best physical condition I've ever been. Now, I've been bigger and stronger and better athletically as a bodybuilder, powerlifter, etc. But physically healthy, nothing wrong with me, in good shape, lower body fat, small, least amount of medical problems, least amount of medicine taken. I'm in the best condition I've ever been in my life. It's 70. And what would it be worth to you to be that healthy? Then I'm talking to people I know that can't walk, that have problems medically. And I know a lot of people my age in my neighborhood have already died. And I think, why don't they have that urgency or that importance to want to be in shape, to want to be healthy, and the need, the time to do it? I think about spending time with your kids, and for us, it's the grandkids. Constantly, my wife is constantly on the phone with the grandkids. This, you know, these little video things you can do with your phone where you can talk back and forth, but you're looking at each other. You know, we got grandkids that already know how to do that at 2 years of age. They're calling grandma, FaceTime her every day, hours of conversation, right? I look at that and go, how the heck did people, when they work all day long every day, how do they do that? I look at the landscape and maintenance guys that come to my house, and, you know, some of them are in their 60s, and they're still working, and they're working hard in the sun, physical labor. I go, how are they doing that? I look at people who come and do maintenance repair at my house. They're in their 50s and 60s, still doing hard physical labor. I go, how do they do that? Guys, I retired at 34 years of age. For the last 35 years, I've helped thousands of people do the same thing at different ages, wherever it was they came in a couple of years, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years after they came in, depending on how much they had to start with, how much they're willing to work to get there. But what I think is most important is, why do you not even think about it? I was talking about sitting at this bar, listening to these people talk, and they have no idea. There's no concept that they'll ever get out of working for the rest of their lives. I talked to another guy the other day at another bar, at another restaurant, because that's what I do. I go to the restaurants and I eat at the bar so I can talk to people. Just, it's interesting in life. Another guy, he had just retired or was retiring from being a AC repairman his entire life. He owned an AC company. And he was just so happy at 7 years of age, just quit being an AC man. And I'm thinking, you know, you get paid a ton of money to be an air conditioning repairman, and then to have an air conditioning repair company, you got to make a lot of money. Why is it that you didn't organize your life such that you could have retired many years earlier? Or even for that matter, just had a company and let somebody else run it. But that thought process isn't there. People believe in the back of their mind, if they're not working, they don't deserve to earn. So let's talk about the next level of wanting to retire. We talked about the health aspects of it. We talked about the family and friends, time spent aspect of it. Let's talk about financial security. Financial independence, early retirement. It means reaching a level of financial independence you don't have to worry again. You'll never have to worry again. I don't get up every day and worry about where am I going to get my money from. My money comes in the mail. It comes on a regular, reoccurring basis every month. Boom, dropped in my account. I don't know what it's like to get up and worry about, can I pay my bills or not? And my bills are contained in such a way that I live on probably, my guess is a quarter of what I earn. Probably a good guess. And then when we want to splurge and spend some money, go do something like travel, it doesn't matter because we're not even digging into that month's income, really. Never will we spend a whole month's income for anything. So we're always still saving, even though we're living like, you know, the life of Roy to me, you know. I live in a 16,000 square foot home with the 20 car garage. So I don't worry. It's paid in full. My money comes in every month to pay. I don't worry about income. That kind of financial freedom, that kind of mental freedom, what's it worth to you? Right? That's the next thing I'd bring up. Wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of financial freedom? And when I say financial freedom, I mean truly you have financial freedom that you don't have to worry like I don't. And truly other people get to that point. I remember when I was growing up meeting people that lived this way. It just blew my mind. How did you ever get to the point? And I was asking doctors, really, and lawyers sometimes, rich ones, mostly lawyers always like to work. They keep working because they're fun. But a lot of doctors, that's where they had made so much money and saved so much money and bought a house and bought the wife. I remember one guy telling me, you know, Dale, you go through these things. You buy him a house and then you buy him, you know, necklaces and you buy them bracelets and you buy them rings and then you buy them purses and you buy them shoes. And eventually you've bought all those things and now they've got everything. Just at this point, you know, you just keep going. You know, there's no big bills anymore. They've got a nice car. You got a nice house. You got two nice cars. You got two nice houses. I mean, it's redundant at some point. And how do you get to that point, right? That's kind of an interesting thing. The other one is the concept that you don't have to stress where you're going anymore. There seems to me to be this constant pursuit of success, that you're never at the highest level that you could be at your job. Never are you at the highest level you can be at your earnings potential. I hear that term a lot. And I don't have any of those terms. I don't have a position to be higher than. I have nowhere to go to be more than. You just have to understand how that relieves stress. You know, get up in the morning with it, I got to go compete. Not only do I have to go push the rock up the hill, I have to push the rock up the hill faster than somebody else or higher than somebody else. And it's just nice to not have to even get up and push the rock, let alone have to do it better, faster, and farther than someone else. And it's the better, faster, and farther, I think, really wears on people as you get older. Although, if you're not liking the rock you're pushing, you think about that, that's the next level. How much just total insanity is there in work? I was watching a YouTube video the other day, I think it was. No, it was TV, I think. And they were talking about, yeah, it was Bill Maher. And he was talking about the fact that AI, artificial intelligence, is going to take away all the jobs. And they go, what are people going to do? What are they going to do? And it said, well, people will then be forced to come up with a life. And my life is so full, I get up in the morning and I've just got a million things to do. None of them I have to do to go make money, but a million things I want to do. I have a life, fulfilled, full life. And so many other people have nothing. If you took away the grind, they would have nothing. In fact, many men, a good percentage, about 90% of the people out there, within the year or two after they stop working, they quit their career, they retire, they die. Because they have no reason to be alive anymore. Especially men whose wives have controlled the family their whole life. And, you know, it's basically, I love you, don't come home. Stay out there working. Oh, my God, what are you doing home? I remember one lady telling me when the family came in for the consultation, the wife said, look, Dell, get him out of the house. You retired him. Now I'm stuck with him. I married him for better and for worse, but not to spend the whole day with him every single day. Get him doing something. I said, but that's not the idea. The idea is to do little and make money. She goes, find something for him to do. He's driving me crazy. And I think there's a lot of people out there that have that nothingness in their life. But then there's those people that have that absolute misery in life. Come back, we'll talk about it. Let's talk about that hour drive into work, that hour drive back from work, and a guy who told me something about that the other day. I'll share that story with you. And we'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing really this disbelief of mine that people have no idea that you don't have to work the rest of your life. And my disbelief in that people don't understand what they're missing. I guess if you've never been on the other side of the curtain, you've never been on the other side of the curtain. You can't see what's there. So I'm talking about all the reasons why you might want to retire early instead of working till you're 65 or 70 years of age. And the next one is probably the least colorful of them all, but it's just to escape from unfulfilling and stressful work. How many of you get up and go to work every day to a job you don't like? I know it's not everybody. Some of you like what you do. But it's just, I remember having jobs that I didn't like. I remember counting the hours as they went by. I remember counting the days of the week as they went by. And just hoping that you'd get to the end of the day. In fact, I remember hoping to get to lunch and then to the 3 o'clock break and then to the 5 o'clock you're done and then go work out and enjoy my life. I then remember times where, you know, God, it's Wednesday, and then hopefully now it's, thank God it's Friday, and we can go out and party and have some fun and, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then I remember when I worked, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I had none of that time. Well, I actually liked what I did then. I was actually training people at health club at that point, and I liked what I did, and I liked running health clubs, but man, I didn't like the hours. But those are the hours that that job required. So I've been in jobs that I hated the job, and I've been in jobs that I hated the hours. One of the interesting things that I found to be the most enjoyable part of being retired at 34 years of age was the lack of need to get up and drive during drive time hours. I was talking to a guy about this the other day. It was a maintenance guy. Guy was an appliance repairman. And I called the company up and said, come on out. And he said, okay, we'll come out and we'll tell you what needs to be done. And he sent me an invoice for work to be done. And said, if you want the work done, pay half of it in advance, et cetera. And then I'll come back and do the work. And I said, when are you going to come back and do the work? He said, well, I'll be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock at night. I said, well, do you have a card? So he gives me his card. And his card doesn't have his name on it. It just has a company name and a company telephone number. So now I'm starting to get a little shaky here thinking, does this guy actually even work for this company? Has he somehow figured out how to just get their messages, get their calls? Or maybe there isn't even a company. This guy's got no real identification. So I try calling the company, and I find there's actually two different telephone numbers. There's the one on the card that goes to the company, and then there's one on the internet that goes to the company. Man, that's really shaky now. And so I talked to somebody online, and I tell him, look, I you want me to pay money up front. I said, why do you want me to pay money before the repairs are done? He goes, well, the repairs aren't done. I said, no. He said, okay, well, then you don't have to pay money. But what they really wanted was they wanted me to pay for the parts before, because they had to order the parts to come back to make the repair, and they wanted me to pay for the parts. And I said, I don't feel comfortable. You know, I got this card with nobody's name on it. And then all of a sudden, the guy, I said, do you even have me down as a service call? And then he had my address, and that made me feel better. And then he gave me the name of the repairman, and I remember the guy's name, and they go, that was the name he was giving me. I said, okay, that makes me feel better. And the fact he says, hey, you don't have to pay anything. We'll be back out there, and then you can pay us after the repair is done. That completed the comfort for me. The guy comes back out, 7 o'clock at night. And I'm asking him, I said, look, I've never seen a repair company that will come out past 6 o'clock at night, let alone say they want to start at 7 o'clock at night. I said, are you doing this as a second job? Do you have a job during the day and then you come do this at night? The guy goes, nah. He goes, no. He says, I get paid by the job. And I get to work whenever I want to work. You know, I take the calls as quick as I can. I get to as many of them as I can. He said, but I refuse to start before 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, you understand that to drive from one side of Houston to the other side of Houston to do a repair call take me an hour to an hour and a half for the drive? He said, if I just wait till 10 o'clock, it only takes me 30 minutes to go all the way across Houston, no matter where I go. He said, that hour is wasted hour of my life. He said, also, if I go out at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, come back at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, I lose another hour. He said, when I go out, and I start my workday at 10, and I end my workday at 8 or 9 at night. I miss both traffic, and that's 2 hours a day of work that I get to do that I get paid for instead of sitting in traffic. And I thought, my gosh, that's brilliant, because it's the first thing I noticed when I retired, is that I don't go anywhere until after 9 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock in the morning, because you avoid that morning traffic. And you avoid coming back home until after 6 o'clock at night. So if I'm out somewhere in Houston and we're doing anything, shopping or traveling or meeting friends or doing business, whatever, we'll just stay out and have dinner. We'll stay out and have a drink. We're not coming home until after 7 o'clock because the traffic is horrendous. And that is one of the most beautiful benefits. I used to joke all the time with my wife. I said, you know, we go out to eat every night except Friday night. And on Friday nights, we'll go out with our friends to some expensive place with reservations and whatever, that's a social event. But the real beauty is we can go out at night and get in anywhere because there's no traffic. There's no people. It's not booked up. And we can get served and they know us because we're regulars. And it's just so much nicer than sitting in a room waiting. You know, sir, it'd be an hour and 30 minutes before you can get in. There's 20 people ahead of you. Go, my God, I don't do that anymore. That's ridiculous. And like I said, if we do go out on a Friday or Saturday night, we have reservations, and it's with friends, and they get us right in, and we valet park, and we don't mess with all that stuff. But it's just the ability, number one, to escape a job that you hate is an incredible positive thing. The second thing is to escape the turmoil surrounding that job, getting to that job every day. Getting home from that job every day, going to lunch during the busiest part of the day with everybody else. It's just, I don't know which is worse, the job or the surrounding waste of time to get to and from the job. I mean, an hour in traffic with the sun in your eyes. And by the way, I'll tell you, it's the strangest thing in the world, and you think this through for a second. Wealthy people always live in the west side of town. I don't care where you, whatever town it is, think about it. The richest people live on the west side of the railroad tracks. The poor people live on the east side of the railroad tracks. So rich people are always driving into town in the morning with the sun in their eyes. And they're always driving back out of town at night with the sun in their eyes. It's the most annoying thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's the way it's always been. I've always lived on the better side of town. I'm always driving into the sun one way and then into the sun the other way. It's just annoying. And then you get there and you have the problem with the boss. I always draw this ladder of success and I show little stick figures on the ladder. Look, there's like 4 or 5 people on that ladder. And if you look up, the view never changes. And that's just life. That's what work is. And you try to climb to get to the top of the ladder and somebody knocks you off just about the time you get up there. It's just unbelievable. So to escape from unfulfilling and stressful workloads is an incredible thing. Leaving and arriving when you want to, whatever it is you do. Think, even if you own your own business, like in the real estate business, we own apartments, we own houses, and we have to go do something. We have to talk to a tenant. We need to go out to the apartment. We don't do it at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. We get up, eat breakfast, leisure around, then leave when the traffic's gone. It's just a better life. It's a quality of life you just can't even imagine if you're living life of quiet desperation. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. The average person that I sit here and I talk to, they have no idea no idea whatsoever what they're missing in life. So how many of you out there know there's a book inside of you? You just know there is. If you had the time to sit and write it, there's a book in there. I mean, it's an amazing thing. How many of you know there's, you know, a painting in there waiting to be painted? How many know that there's, you know, a redecoration of your home and your yard or landscaping or remodeling your house that's inside of you? You just don't have the time to take that project on in life. How many of you know that there's a musician inside of you? You were a great musician when you were younger, but then you had to get a job and work, and you haven't been able to pick up that guitar or that piano or whatever it is you do, or singing, or even dancing for that matter. How many of you know that you love to dance and you get more joy out of getting up and dancing than anything else in the whole world? When my ex-girlfriend forced me to take dance lessons, I thought it was the most painful thing in the world to do. Once I learned how to dance, my gosh, it became the number one most fun thing to do in life. I mean, next to having sex, which is obvious, the adrenaline and the high and the joy and the fun of being out there with people and music and movement, it's just incredible. But you have to have time to go do it. You have to do it enough to get good at it and really enjoy it. I mean, we took ballroom dancing stuff and did all different types of things. The main dance we did was West Coast Swing, but we did salsa and we did country western, and man, it's just a blast. Music. I have a guitar collection. I wish, you know, I've always wanted to have time to play the guitar. And until I retired, I never had time to play it. Now I'm so busy with so many other hobbies, I don't even have any time to play it anymore. But it's just because there's so many things that I have stuck into my life that are all hobbies. It's amazing, you know? So, for example, I have a train collection, and it's a collection, and it's also a train layout. The train layout is something that I enjoy building. It's a, you know, intellectual construct. Let's build this city. Let's build this thing. And then there's the collection, which is a whole nother thing. I can't even tell you what collecting does to people. I'm a collector from way, way back. I remember collecting coins, pennies when I was a kid. Yeah, there's something about collecting things that's really addicting. So there's another hobby. I mean, you go down the list of things. Travel is an addiction. I have one guy working for me at Lifestyles, and I say working, he's one of the mentors. He's been to 100 different countries. Can you imagine that? He had a bucket list. I'm going to go to 100 different countries. He's been to over 100 different countries. And any day of the week, you can look on Facebook, and there he is. He's in another country, him and his wife. He's also a scuba diving expert, scuba diving trainer. So he's dove every different place. It's exciting to dive all over the world. You know, there's people out there that really have a life, that have fun, that go places and do things and have hobbies. It's just amazing what you're missing out on if you get up and go to work every day, all day long, every day, right? There's just so many things you might want to do, even if it's start another company. I always wanted to own my own company. I wanted to put together the books, you know, because I was an accountant when I was a kid. I took accounting when I was a kid. My dad was a CPA, so, you know, I always saw myself as this business person. And when I was a kid, I used to play Monopoly, and I'd take the board and play by myself. And each side, I'd make a different player. This guy only bought these kinds of things. This guy bought these kinds of things. And, you know, I had four different business plans, and I'd play them against each other. And the same one won all the time. It was obvious how to win at Monopoly. But the reality was that rubbed off on me, and I wanted to be a business person. I wanted to start companies. So now I have like 27 companies. I just like, I don't know if it's the accumulation thing. You know, is it the hobby of accumulating? Is it liking more income? Is it just like starting something new, that you know, excitement and adrenaline of starting something new? Whatever it is. Right? Whatever it is. Now, once I got married, you know, and we've been together now for like 17 years, but we've been, you know, it changes you to where you have to worry about your spouse's interests and her hobbies. So you have to blend some of what you want to do. So you have to give up some of your free time to meld into whatever her desires and free time decisions are, right? So it's an amazing how much you're missing out by not having that free time to be able to do what you want to do. And I guess the last one I want to hit on is the waste of having a job. It's just unbelievable. How many cars do you need to have? How often do you need to service them? How many suits do you need to have? How many different pairs of shoes? How many different ties? For women, how much different clothes so that you don't wear the same thing every day? And the second you retire, all that goes away. You get yourself one set of comfortable clothes, a couple different shirts, and boom, whatever. That's it. I wear the same thing every day. I get up, put on workout gear. All my workout gear looks the same. That way, nobody ever knows if, you know, I've got 20 of the same thing. All of them just shorts and T-shirts. That's my life. As soon as we get done with the end of the day of working out, being outside, playing in the yard, doing our sports, whatever we're doing, boom. Shower and get into nice clothes. But we don't have to have new stuff every day. Don't have to have gas for the car every day. Don't have to have all these things you have to have. I don't have to have a lunch decision every day out there at the job. It's just different. Well, I hope I've shed some light on some of this stuff for you, because after sitting at that bar and seeing those people that have no life and don't even know they have no life, I wanted to share with you really what life was all about. So remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.